Number two, in the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Look, we're already into the second hour in the Top 10 Tuesday in the Doghouse. Fresh off a week in the great state of Florida. When it got cold here, it got cold there. But by cold there, I mean like 63. I mean, it was 80s when it first got there. First 3 days, 80s. And then we didn't even have a day in the 70s. It was 80s, and then it became, over the weekend, 60. It was like 63 on Saturday and 60 on Sunday. But it was brilliant sunshine, so it was okay. All right, speaking of Florida, we'll go down now to Miami, where we are joined by Kevin Rogers from VegasInsider.com. K-Rog, welcome in. How are you, man?
Tom, good to talk to you again.
It's good to chat with you. And I want to get to some bowl strategies for, we're doing a big doghouse bowl pick'em contest and things like that. And I know you got some ideas on that with coaches that are moving and teams, that what they're playing for and the different various levels of motivation. But before I get there, you're a seam head like I am, and you do a wonderful job following baseball all summer long. First of all, from a local perspective, you're based out of Miami there, and how devastating is it for that community to lose the National League MVP for what appears to be a song? I mean, a couple of prospects and a guy named Castro. Well, that'll play well in Miami.
You know, I've been talking about this the last few days. I'm kind of torn on it as far as I look at Stanton a little bit like A-Rod in Texas. You were going to win 80 games, 75, 80 games with or without him, you know, and he's obviously a terrific home run hitter. But besides that, you know, he's not Mike Trout. He's not Bryce Harper. You know, he's not one of those guys. And, you know, it seems a little odd that he's going to the Yankees just because of the Jeter connection. But Jeter was saddled with a terrible contract with Stanton. And, you know, this is a team that's really not going anywhere. This isn't LeBron leaving the Heat to go back to Cleveland, where it's like, oh, my God, you're destroying the franchise. But people don't care about it anyway down here. So you just think that Jeter, you would hope that he'd have some kind of plan, that this is the start of a plan. And even though they didn't get any good players in return, it seems like, or something to build with, that's what people kind of question. And it just seems like Jeter is not, I don't want to say fan-friendly, that's not the right word, but as far as he's just not, I don't know. It feels like he's not doing things right, and he needs to make a right decision pretty soon.
Yeah, and ironically, you mentioned the A-Rod deal, and that was a lot of people have kind of compared it to that. But ironically, the Yankees traded their second baseman for A-Rod as well. That was Alfonso Soriano. I think Alfonso Soriano had a better run left in him than does Starlin Castro. Starlin Castro's a nice player. I mean, he's going to do, and it'll be a good addition there. He's a good player, and so on. But and it'll be interesting to see how they utilize Stanton. You know, he's been injury prone. Last year was the first year really he was able to get through without injuries. And I wonder if you won't see in New York a right field platoon of one of those guys. You know, Aaron Judge, both of those guys have never played a game outside of right field in the major leagues. So I wonder if one of those guys is playing right and the other guy's the DH, and it's like that all the time, which could really take a lot of wear and tear off of both of them.
Yeah, I mean, and you're spending $250 million or whatever's left in his contract for a designated hitter to hit four times a game. You know, it's just, look, the Yankees can spend the money. They can do whatever they want. But at the same time, I don't know. Is this the missing piece for the Yankees? I mean, they were that close to winning the pennant last year without Giancarlo Stanton. I don't think that having him was a difference. I think they need a little bit more pitching and, have like another Aaron Judge in a sense, or, you know, you say Stanton is another, or Judge another Stanton, however you want to say it. You know, it obviously improves them, but, at the same time, I think they still got pretty far even without him. I mean, let's do what Aaron Boone's made of as far as a manager, you know, following Girardi, but, you know, it's good for the Yankees. You know, now they've really got a lot of star power on their team. After a few years, it seemed like they didn't have that, but now they have that, and, it'll be interesting in the American League.
No, you're 1,000% right, by the way. I mean, this was not a problem for them. Right field power hitter was not a problem for them. They needed pitching. I mean, if you told me you got Dallas Keuchel and you were spending $250 million, then I'd say, okay. Or Verlander for something less of that, I'd say, okay. If you told me tomorrow that you would trade Stanton to the Dodgers, where he really wanted to go, if you told me you were going to trade Stanton to the Dodgers for one of their top two pitchers, something along those lines, I think that the Yankees would be a lot closer to a World Series. Because like you said, they were within a game anyway of making it to the World Series if they had the, they just were short starting pitching. And you can't expect CeCe Sabathia to be that kind of a pitcher again this year. He's not going to be a 15, 16 game winner if they even go ahead and sign him for a 1-year deal.
No, I mean, if the Yankees had Justin Verlander instead of the Astros, maybe the Yankees are in the World Series. But at the same time, when the Yankees can afford it, they're gonna pull the trigger on it. And for the Marlins, as far as where they go from here, it is pretty much the Nationals and everybody else in the National League East, with or without Giancarlo Stanton. So now we'll just see if this process that turns into another Astros type rebuild and what they had, or if it's just going to be a mediocre team.
He needed to be in Orlando, though, not sitting in a luxury suite in Miami last night at the Hard Rock Stadium. I mean, he could have done both. You could fly back and forth and so on. But I thought it was it's a bad look for him to pull this deal and then not be in Orlando face-to-face and doing that kind of stuff, I thought. What were your thoughts on it?
I mean, like, people are going to scrutinize all they want with him. And, again, if he made some great decisions, they wouldn't say a word. But because of the decisions he's made of late and how he's treated people, they're going to question him and say, why aren't you in the office all the time? I mean, he doesn't have to be there all the time, but, again, I don't know if he's going to the meeting the next day or what, but he still has got to find a way to improve his image a little bit.
Speaking of the Dolphins, I reached out on Twitter, and I've yet to hear from anybody, and I'll say it here on the show. Is there one Dolphin fan that can say, oh, man, those uniforms last night, they look like crap. I'd rather see them in their current gear. I can't find one person that will tell me that the stuff that they wear now is better looking than what they looked like last night. And then they played the way they played. I mean, just to give you a little more of a throwback feel. But, man, did they look good both in uniform and on the field last night.
Yeah, and a lot of people really like those throwbacks, and I don't know if they responded because of it or because they were on Monday Night Football or because it was the Patriots they were playing, but that was the Jay Cutler that the Dolphin fans were waiting to see. And even if that's going to be the only really good game he's going to play all year, and then he's done in a few weeks, and then Ryan Tannehill comes back, it's still going to be, this memory of this was the highlight of their season, beating the Patriots, beating Tom Brady, and, unfortunately, that's just what it is in the NFL. You can pick up one good win, but New England will move on and be in the AFC Championship probably while the Dolphins will be out of the playoffs. But it still was a nice win for them. It was a good night for them to be showcased where they had a couple really horrible showings on primetime football this year. They had three games in a row they lost. They got blown out in two of them on the road, and they lost to Oakland at home. So I think beating New England was kind of, the highlight of their season.
Folks in these parts follow ex-Alabama players pretty closely. And so for the second week in a row to see Kenyon Drake play like that, and I think those of us that saw him play in college always thought that, that guy, if he could ever be the feature guy and stay healthy, would be a hell of a back. I always thought he was going to be a better pro back, to be honest with you, than some of the guys that he was playing with, guys like Eddie Lacy and some of the others, just because of the way he is made up. He's been outstanding. Is this just a guy having a couple of good weeks, or do you think this is something you could build around with Kenyon Drake?
Well, I mean, a couple of weeks ago when the trade was made to send Jay Ajayi off to Philadelphia, a lot of people thought Adam Gase was crazy because Kenyon Drake hadn't proven anything. And now Damian Williams, who was also another backup, was getting an opportunity. He separated his shoulder, so it was Drake's game. It was his opportunity. And he's had a couple of really nice runs. And the other key, too, is that he can catch pass out of the backfield. Now is the one knock on Ajayi is that he couldn't do that. So, Drake, I think by halftime last night, had about 70 receiving yards. And that's very key for any team. But for the Dolphins to have that running back that can do two things. I mean, we saw Jay Ajayi have a couple big games last year, and they thought he was one of the top five running backs in the league. But it was just a few really good games. Hopefully Kenyon Drake doesn't fall into that same trap where he has a couple good games and then he kind of just falls off. But also he's a lot younger, and I think that he's only helping himself right now because the Dolphins' offensive line isn't great. And for you to put those kind of numbers behind that offensive line has been pretty impressive.
Kevin Rogers with us, VegasInsider.com. All right, let's get to bowl games, which start on Saturday. Hell, Saturday, there's more bowl games on Saturday than there is on New Year's Day, I think, with six games on Saturday outside of the, you know, the FCS playoffs and all that kind of stuff. But we're doing a contest. Know that confidence crap. I tried to find one against the spread, but you can't find any that are against the spread. So it's either pick them straight up or confidence, and that confidence thing is stupid. I'm not going to do that. So we're going to do them straight up. But is there an overall feeling that you have about bowl games with so many teams having new staffs that aren't there, or staffs that are skeleton staffs, leftover staffs, coaches that are coaching in games like Jeremy Pruitt, who's the head coach at Tennessee, coaching for Alabama, all those kind of things. How much do you scrutinize who has a stable staff and who is a skeleton staff?
Well, last year, if I'm not mistaken, both Houston and Temple were favorite in their bowl games, and Tom Herman left to go to Texas, and they had a down year. Houston got destroyed in their bowl game, I think, by San Diego State. And Matt Rhule, the Golden Rhule, left Temple to go to Baylor. We saw how bad that turned out for him. But regardless, Temple, I believe, lost their bowl game as well last year. So, you know, you say to yourself, you know, how will that affect Florida State? You know, obviously they didn't have that great of a year, but they still made the bowl, the Independence Bowl against Southern Miss. And how would it affect other schools that their coaches, not that they got fired, but they left. If they get fired, I mean, obviously Florida's not in a bowl game, so it doesn't really affect them. But other schools where their coach, you know, bailed on them, you say, how do we get up for this? Or are we just going to rally because the coach left? I think if you have coaches that leave and you're a favorite, I think they're probably a bad spot. If they're an underdog, maybe that's a look because they probably would rally after their coach left. But as far as, you know, that's what makes these bowls so hard. I always say, Tom, the hardest thing, I believe in handicapping, I will never back down from this, are neutral site games. Mm-hmm. And they're the hardest thing no matter what sport it is, just because you take out that element of the home field advantage, and now you don't know what to expect from either team. And now, you know, which teams are motivated to play in a bowl game. I do believe that there are teams that don't really care about playing the bowl game. I think you get these Sun Belt and Conference USA and MAC schools that do care because it's the time that they get to be showcased in front of the country. But then once you get to those early SEC, ACC games and these mediocre bowls, I don't know how much really they're showing up because they just want to get this done with. And if you're a senior, you're probably over the whole thing if you're in a bad season.
Well, we also have a new phenomena that has started, you know, in the last couple of years and is already starting to pop up a little bit now, and that's players, if it's not a playoff game, right, if it's not the, you know, the Rose Bowl or the Sugar Bowl, you've got players begging out of the game because they don't want to take a chance of getting injured before the draft, you know. So you've got some stud players. We saw it last year with Fournette and Christian McCaffrey, and we're going to see it more and more, I think, once that starts happening. So I think that's in play as well, isn't it, right? You got to look and say, well, this guy's quarterback's not playing, or this player or that player, key players that are sitting out of these games.
Well, that's why you got to wait. You know, you can't jump on these games yet because what if 2 days before X Bowl, somebody says, you know what, I'm going to be a high draft pick. Why do I play in this game? This game means absolutely nothing to me. You know, mm-hmm. And, you know, Fournette was a little banged up. McCaffrey is more surprising because you kind of said, you know, why you had such a good season. You were a Heisman candidate to begin the season, and now you're not playing. And I don't blame him because he was in the Sun Bowl in a game that didn't matter at all. Mm-hmm. But I said this last year, Tom, that I'm just waiting for the next step to happen with this phenomenon, as you call it, that when is it going to be a player playing in the college football playoff that says, you know what, I don't really care about this. That, yeah. You know, if it was last year, like Deshaun Watson, I played in the championship last year. What do I want to ruin my stock? I don't want to get hurt here, you know, and I'm waiting for that one star player to say, you know what, I don't need this anymore. Let me go straight for the NFL. I'm wasting time. I play in this. I got to wait for two more games now and I have the potential of getting hurt. No, I'm not going to do it. There's going to be somebody, maybe not this year or next year, somebody down the road will end up doing that, I bet you.
Well, they're not doing anybody any favors by announcing and making public all of these bonuses that the coaches have for winning this game or going to that bowl. And I mean, and in some cases, it's upwards of $500,000. You know, you get 150 grand to win your division, and then you get 250 if you win the conference title, and then you get 500,000 for winning the bowl game, or you know, whatever it is. And man, at some point in time, when does a kid say, what are you kidding me? I'm playing here for a pair of sweatpants, bowl ring, and you're getting $250,000 if we win this game? I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, that kind of stuff to me is the scary part.
Well, I think the worst part when we saw all the buyouts of these coaches and the money that Jim Mora and Brett Bielema and these other coaches that are not wanted anymore, that you say, you're ponying up $12 million to this guy because you don't want him anymore. Like, that's the best agent ever, you know, to get the kind of money for some of these coaches. And, you know, I'm not talking about, again, a Jimbo Fisher, what he got at Texas A&M. But as far as coaches, they're just said, here, go away. Here's $10 million to go away. I say,
right.
If I'm a player, I'm like, how do you have that kind of money? And again, I'm not big on the whole paying the players. I'm just not, because I think it turns into pros eventually, and another discussion for another day. But I just don't know. How do you find this money? So if you do well, you win this amount of games, you get an extra $200,000. Why does Nick Saban need $200,000 more to get the SEC championship?
Why is his house paid for by the boosters? They bought his house and gave it back to him. You know, it's a $4 million home. They bought the house and gave it to him. And they said, okay, now you make $11 million a year, but you don't have a mortgage payment either. How about that? You know, that's exactly right. All right, Kevin Rogers with us, VegasInsider.com. The other trend, I don't know if anybody's done this research. I would think maybe they have. But what about Party of Five conference teams playing Power Five conference teams? You get this motivation factor. And sometimes conference, look, anytime the SEC and the Big Ten get together, there's a little extra juice. There really is. Because I do think that there is a rivalry between certain conferences, especially the 10 and the SEC. I think if there's two conferences that have the biggest rivalry amongst the conferences, it would be the 10 in the SEC. But when I think about Central Florida representing the AAC playing the big, bad, you know, Auburn Tigers out of the SEC, it just seems to be one-sided on the motivation, where the Auburn guys are like, oh, great. You know, we're beating baby seals here, is what I've been saying. We win, we're supposed to win, we don't win, we're laughing stock. So you've got those kind of games, and there's a number of them where you've got teams playing up, if you will, from Party of Five into a Power Five. Have we looked at those numbers to see how those teams do?
Well, I'm just going back off the top of my head. I think of Western Michigan last year, they were undefeated. They played Wisconsin in the Cotton Bowl and lost.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know how much motivation Wisconsin had necessarily. They lost in the Big Ten title game to Penn State. They still went out and beat Western Michigan. I think there is motivation if you're the bigger school because you don't want to lose to that smaller school. And you definitely believe that UCF or any of these other big schools, or I mean schools playing bigger schools, would be motivated. I find UCF to be a very interesting situation against Auburn, considering Scott Frost is leaving to go to Nebraska, taking this whole staff with him, but at the same time coaching this game. And I don't mind that. I normally have a problem with that. I say, if you want to leave, leave. But because of what he did for UCF, and understandably, he went back to his alma mater, Nebraska, UCF is a stepping stone. No one can disagree with that. But, you know, I kind of wonder if you want to finish undefeated, but at the same time, it's like, well, if we do, great. But if not, I'm still leaving. I'm still going to Nebraska. So that's the special situation there with UCF. But, again, I think it goes both ways, that I believe that UCF has the talent to obviously hang with Auburn. And Auburn does not want to feel like their season is going to end on a sour note by they beat Alabama, then they get blown out by Georgia and they lose to UCF. And I said, well, what does the Alabama win mean? It means nothing because you lost your final two. That's what people will remember, even though state of Alabama, they'll all remember that win. But everyone wants to finish on a high note, I believe. And when you get the Power Five against the non-Power Five, I think it's case by case. It really is.
Yeah. Do you have a feel for any of the early games that are coming up, those games that are coming up Saturday? Have you zeroed in on anything that you like there yet?
No.
Okay.
I'm just being honest with you. No, I really haven't. I mean, I've seen the matchups, and again, they're Sun Belt Conference USA,
right.
Mountain West. No,
well,
I
that's
really
good
haven't.
Because
I
mean, I'm
not really invested in the Cure Bowl, to be honest with you.
Right. Well, and that's good because I want to save the discussion for the big games later on, before New Year's Day, and we'll get into those games as well, the playoff games there. But I do want to get your thought on NFL game, especially of note. I can't believe right now, especially based on what I saw last night, I can't believe I can get a field goal with Pittsburgh at home on Sunday against the New England Patriots. Not that, you know, the Patriots are trash all of a sudden, but holy mackerels. I mean, Pittsburgh's out of their mind. They're playing the way they're playing. They're playing very, very good. They have a chance to basically lock up home ice throughout the AFC playoffs. And I can get 3 points. I mean, at worst, a pick 'em, but I can get 3 points with the New England or with the Pittsburgh Steelers at home against the New England Patriots. What am I missing here?
You're missing that Gronk is coming back and Brady will play a lot better against Pittsburgh. I think I saw the number somebody posted today that Brady only has ever thrown an interception against Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken, or he hasn't thrown an interception at Heinz Field, maybe against the Steelers. But, man, I just got to think that New England going in there, they're favored. That definitely tells you something. Maybe the Patriots have to play, that they'll bounce back against the Steelers. And obviously, the Steelers are coming off this wild win over the Ravens. I feel like the Steelers have played every week under the lights and every week at home. That kind of feels that way like the last like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Every game has been a night game for them at Heinz Field. But we'll see what happens, though. It'll be definitely a very good game. And, you know, New England, I think that – I don't know if there was a look-ahead last night necessarily against the Dolphins, but I think that now, you know, they know what is ahead of them. And if they beat Pittsburgh, you got the tiebreaker, and you can get back to the number one spot.
Yeah, I'll have to put the crack research team on it and see the last time the Patriots lost two games in a row is, too. I guess it's probably been quite a while since they dropped two games in a row. They usually bounce back pretty good just when you think they're dead, but it just feels wrong. You know, it feels like the Steelers should be favored at home or at least be a pick 'em at home. And the other one that jumped off the page at me, you know, we follow the Titans pretty close in this neck of the woods as well. We're Titans affiliate, and here they are. You know, when they were 8-4, I said, man, that's the worst looking 8-4 team in the history of 8-4. Not a worst looking 8-5 team in the history of 8-5. But they're playing San Francisco, who is 3-10, and they're getting points. San Francisco. When was the last time San Francisco was favored in any game? And San Francisco's a 2-point favorite against the Titans at home, an 8-5 team. Is this about Jimmy Garoppolo? Is this just about how bad the Titans' offense has gotten? You know, what do you think is going on there?
Maybe that has to do with Garoppolo a little bit. I mean, they've won two straight, and understandably, they beat Chicago and Houston, who aren't exactly world beaters, but they're still road wins in the NFL. And Garoppolo has shown to be a decent quarterback. And there's a lot of teams that are lacking good quarterbacks. San Francisco barely had quarterback play, and now they get saved by getting Garoppolo, and they can end up, you know, finishing the season with a, I'm not going to say a respectable record, but at least not like a 1-15 or 2-14 record. Now they can kind of end up with 4 or 5 wins, maybe. And it'll look better for next year. But for the Titans, I mean, this is a team that, what, didn't reach double digits against Cleveland, scored 7 points against Arizona, that their offense just disappears sometimes.
Yeah.
And I get that they, you know, they swept Indianapolis. They beat Jacksonville way early in the season. They beat Seattle early in the season. But, you know, at times the Titans, you know, they snuck by the Bengals. They snuck by the Ravens at home. Maybe they're getting exposed right now. And San Francisco, with the way they're playing, I mean, they should be favored. I mean, when you have a decent quarterback like that, I mean, you say Garoppolo's playing better than Mariota right now.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Is I thought the Titans had a decent quarterback, you know, and now he's having what's turning into a very, very pedestrian year, to say the least. And they have some decent wins earlier in the year. You know, when you look at them, you say, well, the Titans, you know, are – but they, you know, they beat Seattle, they beat Jacksonville on the road at Jacksonville. They'll play them again in the final game of the season. They beat the Ravens, which is a, you know, right now is a team that's right there in the playoff hunt. I mean, they, you know, those are three playoff teams that they've beaten, and yet they feel like the worst 8-5 team ever. I hate to say that, but you know, it's the way it is.
Well, not about ever, but they're definitely a question mark with them. I mean, I still think they'll get the playoffs because of, you know, what they have ahead. I mean, if they lose to San Francisco, it'll really hurt them. I mean, yeah. Arizona and San Francisco back-to-back weeks, you shouldn't be in the playoffs in the AFC.
Right.
But, you know, still, if they can find a way to sneak in, who knows? You know, and they still get the Jags, you know, one more time. And if they can pull off that season sweep, maybe they can still win the division, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And that'll be big for them, but... yes, at this point of the season, you know, they are not playing their best football.
Kevin Rogers has been, I guess. Now, you'll have picks this weekend, though, for both Saturday and Sunday. Of course, we got NFL games on Saturday as well. But they can all check that out, your insider page, and get your picks right there at VegasInsider.com, correct?
Yes, they can.
All right. Appreciate you as always, K-Rog. We'll talk again next week.
Okay, Tom. See you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, when we return, it's Tuesday. I got a top 10. It's the top 10 bowl games going into the bowl system or season, according to me. Okay, this is just according to me. And I might even throw in there some information about some of the bowl gifts, the swag. You know what swag stands for, right? Stuff we all get. I may throw some of that in there as well, as far as what some of these guys are getting in their bowl gift bags as well. We'll see.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that's what swag stood for, but I'm also the guy that, you know, played share the whole week you were gone. So
you did. I mean, you were. I mean, look. Let's be honest with it. I mean, it was a touchy feely week while I was gone.
I'm upset that the best song I played all week, no one decided to tell you that I played. My Heart Will Go On, Celine Dion. I threw a little bit of that in there.
No one wants to give
credit to that. They want to stick with Cher and Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga might not have been my proudest moment, but come on, you got to give me credit for Celine.
Trill wants to know where the All Boomer Sooner Radio went. I mean, he tuned in for All Boomer Sooner Radio, and that's where he wanted to go. So, all right, we'll get out of here. We'll get a break.
Because you know I'm all about that bass.
I just want to make you feel good.
I'm all about that bass.
You feel at home. It's Tom Abraham Show. Coming back with the top 10 next. Bowl games and swag. Stuff we all get. Bowl packages. Tom Abraham Show. Back one more after this. 7:30. 103.98.
Sports Radio. The Ump. Because we care.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility On Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-947-1670. 800-947-1670. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-947-1670.
Here's what you'll hear tonight. On the Ump.
It's the Mike Mularkey Show. Join the Tennessee Titans head coach as he discusses their loss Sunday to the Cardinals and their upcoming game against the 49ers. Coverage starts at 6 p.m. all right here on the Ump.
Hunting and fishing aren't just hobbies, it's a passion. And through the same passion and obsession, Mud Creek Outdoors was born. One stop for all your hunting, fishing, and bow fishing needs. Come see their full line of bows from Matthews, Bowtech, Mission, and Diamond. And browse through their scents, attractants, and apparel. They even offer deer processing. You want quality? You want Mud Creek Outdoors. Highway 72 East in Gurley. Call 256-776-9109. Online at Mud Creek Outdoors.
Your Tennessee Titans stay out west, this time to Levi's Stadium, home of the San Francisco 49ers. The award-winning Titans countdown is on the air at 2:30 Central. Then the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, and Coach Dave McGinnis call the action of Titans and 49ers with a 3:25 Central kickoff. It's the Titans and the 49ers. This Sunday on this Titans radio station.
On your new home for the Titans. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Every 2 minutes, a child enters foster care in the United States. More than 23,000 of these youth age out of foster care without anyone to protect them and care for them. You can be the difference for a child or teen in foster care. To learn about fostering or adoption, call SAFY today at 334-270-3181 or visit the website at safy.org. Consider becoming a foster parent, an agent of hope. Log on safy.org.
Every day, 70,000 puppies or kittens are born in the U.S. Cute, right? What's not cute is that half of all litters are accidents, which leads to millions killed in shelters each year. Turns out, those little cuties can get pregnant sooner than you think. But here's the good news. You can stop the accident before it happens. When you bring home a pet, get them fixed at 4 months old. Prevent more. Fix at month four. Visit fixat4.com for more information. Brought to you by Best Friends Animal Society.
month are sponsored by Panera Bread. Get a Panera Bread gift card this holiday season. For every $50 in gift cards purchased, you'll get a $10 bonus card. For more details, visit your local bakery cafe.
A good supply of sunshine today, but breezy and colder, the high 46. The sky clear tonight, the low at 26. For tomorrow and Thursday, sunny weather continues. The high tomorrow 49, the high Thursday 55. And Friday, another mostly sunny day with a high at 50. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
The Tom Abraham Show is back. Listen at your own risk.
Captain Tuesday in the doghouse. Could have gone a lot of ways on this thing. I mean, it really could. I could have went with the top 10 chick songs that T-Mac played while I was gone. Could have went there. Could have went with the top 10 things I saw in Florida that make you go, You know, why is it, T-Mac, when you're in Florida, why is it that people on bikes wear helmets and people on motorcycles don't? You know, what is up with that? I mean, you see people riding on the bicycles on the sidewalk where they can only run into each other. And those people have helmets on. And then on the road, you see people on motorcycles with no helmet. They're riding behind a 10-wheeler who's throwing stone off of it. I mean, I don't understand that. Why is that?
Maybe the people on the motorcycle think they grew a bigger pair because they're riding a motorcycle instead of a bicycle. Gosh. I don't know.
I mean, you don't have they don't have a helmet law in Florida. You don't have to wear a helmet to ride your motorcycle.
Wow.
But you have to wear a helmet to ride a bike.
What? Really?
I know, that's what I understand. You have to wear a bike helmet, but you don't have to wear a motorcycle helmet. I mean, I don't know.
Hey, before you get into the top 10 bowl games, I don't know if you saw this, you got a chance to see this on Twitter, but apparently a voter was so torn over whether to go with Roy Moore with all the allegations he had and Doug Jones, so he did a write-in. And you know who he wrote in?
Nick Saban.
Nick Saban, baby.
Just one voter.
Yeah, just one. Can you imagine, though? Like,
He'd get more votes than that.
If there would ever be an end to a debate between Nick Saban and Bear Bryant, other than Nick Saban continuing to win championships, wouldn't Senator Saban just put it to bed there?
Well, you know, they say Bear could have been the governor.
That's
while
true.
While he was coaching. And I'll say this about that, since you mentioned Roy Moore. You know, here we go again with the sexual harassment claims. Now, we've seen it all over politics. One of these, you know, groups, TMZ or something, says that they're going to release the names of 30 politicians that have had inappropriate relations or whatever, sexual harassment stuff coming up. I don't know when that's supposed to happen. I don't know. But we've seen it in broadcasting with Matt Lauer and other, you know, talk show hosts and TV hosts and things like that. And now sportscasters getting caught up in it as well. Marshall Faulk, Hall of Famer, Heath Evans out of Auburn, and Ike Taylor have been benched by the NFL Network after claims were made against them by a woman. Donovan McNabb and Eric Davis of ESPN have also been sidelined pending any investigation. So here's my advice. Okay, I have advice for you. T-Mac, are you ready? I got advice because you're young in the business, and for the young people that are out there listening that are working jobs and things like that, I have advice. Are you ready? Do you want to mark down the time so you can go back and get it, or maybe you want to make notes?
Hit me with it. I got my pen ready.
Are you ready? Okay, here's my... Don't do it! Okay? I mean, just act professional.
Okay,
don't... And almost... Yeah, don't. Don't.
Do it.
Apostrophe T.
Is that all
do,
caps?
All caps. Don't okay. do it! Act professional. Act almost distant around any woman in the workplace. Don't flirt. don't wink, don't comment, don't nothing. And this goes for a woman in your company or a client that's a woman, or if you have to, you know, if you have to do business with a woman and it's a client, it's a professional, or a waitress, or the friend of your wife or girlfriend, the lady who delivers the mail, the woman at the post office, just don't nothing. Don't do it. You're going to get accused of something. Chicks are not dudes in the locker room. You want to write that down? Chicks, it's capital C.
Okay.
Are not dudes in the locker room. All right? This is valuable advice. I mean, where are you going to get this kind of advice? Some of you, I don't know. You don't have, I don't understand it. Your daddy never talked to you about this stuff. Maybe some of you ain't got no daddy. I don't know.
So if we can't flirt or do any of that stuff, does that mean we can't do what I can't remember his name. A guy that just got, one of the guys that just had to step down or resign. We can't walk around with our junk hanging out either. We can't
do that. No, no. Do not send pictures of your junk, which one of my bosses years ago, remains nameless or whatever, did that. He was sending pictures of his junk to the salespeople, sales girls. I mean, what are you kidding me? I mean, really? You're the boss. You're going to send pictures of your junk to the salespeople? I mean, what planet do you do this? Don't do that. You don't treat women like they're the dudes in the locker room. You don't. And I got another thing. If they're being flirty towards you, don't take the bait. Don't. Because it's nothing but trouble. In fact, let me go a step further. Why don't we go back to a time when men don't even use rough language in front of a woman.
You
know what I mean? I know some of these girls, they talk like truck drivers. But just resist, like, everything, okay?
I'm with you there.
Just don't do it.
For sure. Yeah. I'm with you on all this stuff. I want to be clear. I'm with you on all of it. But my wife knows that, you know, with the guys, I get a little rough. I don't hide that side of myself from her. She knows I get like that.
But I use rougher language than I wish I did. I'll be honest with you.
She respects the fact that I don't bring that home to her. You know what I mean?
No, I never did. You don't talk like that from a woman. Just don't do it. I mean, it's just don't. And don't. Don't say nothing. Here's what this guy got. This woman, NFL Network employee, former NFL Network employee, Jamie Cantor. She worked as a wardrobe stylist, okay, with the company from 2006 to 2016, okay? Better to have a dude, have like a gay guy be the wardrobe stylist, you know what I mean? Then you don't even have to worry about this. Let me tell you another thing, too. These girls that are trainers in college, are you kidding me? I mean, we would have guys, when I was coaching in college, we would have guys that you couldn't get them out of the training room. And we'd be like, why aren't you at practice? Oh, I got a deep thigh bruise. And Becky over here is rubbing atomic balm into my inner thigh where I got a bruise. She's 19. He's 18. I mean, what are you kidding me? And we're shocked. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I can't believe that happened between that female trainer girl that she got harassed by the football player. Just stop it. Anyway. Jamie Cantor is this woman's name. In her lawsuit, Jamie Cantor said that she received inappropriate and sexually explicit texts from Heath Evans, Donovan McNabb, Ike Taylor, and NFL Network executive, former NFL executive, Eric Weinberger, on separate occasions. Marshall Faulk, according to the lawsuit, groped Cantor and asked Cantor, quote, deeply personal and invasive questions, close quote, about her sex life. The supervisors knew about it. The supervisors observed it. It was insidious in this particular environment, says Cantor's lawyer, Laura Horton. Okay. All right, so let me get a little more specific, okay, for you. Do not send explicit texts to the chick who is putting your makeup on or brushing the lint off of your jacket, okay? I mean, okay? It's a text, for God's sakes. Don't do that. Furthermore, do not grope her and do not ask her about her sex life and what she likes and how she likes to do it. Nobody, you gotta be some kind of a friggin' moron. All of these people should be fired for being morons. Don't do it. If you're in a situation where you deal with women, and I don't care, and I'm being serious. Oh, I've been serious the whole time. But I don't care if you're a salesman. I don't care if you are a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief dealing with squaws. I don't care what it is. If you have to have contact with a woman or a member of the opposite sex, just be professional. It's not a locker room. Don't comment on how their hair looks or anything else. Just be almost distant. Just be as professional as you can be. And if it pisses her off, so be it.
And hey, how about...
Did you get all of that? Or no? I just...
Yeah, I had to start typing instead of writing. It did so a lot to write. You were talking really fast, so I had to start typing it down. But how about let her sex life be her sex life? How about that? I mean, asking her invasive questions.
And it doesn't include you.
Yeah.
Okay?
There you go.
If her sex life included you, you know... You wouldn't have to ask questions.
Yeah, if you're dating someone and you're not the last name on her list, then you might be able to ask some questions.
And don't even go there either. I mean, I learned this lesson when I was 18 years old working at a sub shop in college, okay? Don't date anybody you work with. Don't ever do that. Don't do that. It never ends well. It never ends well. It's stupid. Don't do it. Because then you're going to break it off with her because you want to date the other girl at work. And then you're going to date the other girl at work. You're 18 years old and you want to go through them all. And then they all hate you and they're talking about you. And just don't do it.
10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. It's the Tuesday Top 10.
These are top 10 bowl games as I see them, personally. This is just for me. I mean, I'm not like reading somebody else's list. I mean, this is my top 10 bowl games. By the way,
so we have a chance to criticize.
Yeah. So feel free to criticize and tell me what games you're looking for. How does a guy like Howard Stern, doesn't he commit sexual harassment every guest that he has in studio? How do those guys get? I mean, I'm seeing radio hosts getting fired all over the place, everywhere, from coast to coast. They're getting fired for sexual harassment type things, and this one grabbed the Taylor Swift, and this one did that, and everything. How does Howard Stern get away with that stuff, and not get sued, and these other hosts, and not get sued by those people? You know what I mean? Is there a different rule if somebody's a guest on a radio show or a TV show or something? I just wondered. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to sort all of that out. All right. Number 10. These are the top 10 bowl games that I am looking forward to. And it might be a little bit heavy out of the SEC here. I'm just saying. Number 10. I'm interested in Va-Tech and Oklahoma State in the Tax Slayer Bowl. I'm not going to give you a bunch of reasons for some of these, but I am. I like Va-Tech, Okie State in the Tax Slayer Bowl. That's on the 28th at 4:15. And then the next game after that, this is a Thursday in bowl week. The next game after that, the Alamo Bowl, is my number 9 pick, Stanford and TCU. That's a good game, Stanford and TCU. Number 8, Saturday the 30th, Penn State and Washington in the Fiesta Bowl. That's low for a Fiesta Bowl, but, you know, Penn State and Washington, I'm interested. It's a Fiesta Bowl, but I'm usually more interested in the Fiesta Bowl than I'd be honest with you. Number 7, the Orange Bowl, later that night, Wisconsin and Miami, in a game that I will not get to see because I'll be broadcasting a Birmingham Bulls hockey game for Eli Gold that night. But in any event, that would be my next game. Hang on a second. Why is the Burles pest control place calling me wanting to set up their pest control thing? Don't call me. I'm on the radio. Where did I leave off? Oh, Miami, Wisconsin. All right, the next three games on my list are on New Year's Day. Number 6, the Outback Bowl, Michigan and South Carolina. I just want to see if Jadeveon Clowney will come back and blow up a running back for Michigan. But I'm interested in that game. Number five, New Year's Day, the Citrus Bowl. I mean, it's Notre Dame, LSU. They played a spectacular game in the Music City Bowl a few years ago. And it's Notre Dame, LSU. That is an unusually high level of brand name for, you know, a Citrus Bowl. So I'm very much interested in that game. That's number five. Number four most interesting game to me this bowl season is the Peach Bowl. It's Auburn and Central Florida, and I want Auburn to blow them out of the building. You Auburn, you people who are like Alabama fans, so you everything, you want to laugh because you want Auburn to get beat by UCF. Not me. I'm not that guy. First of all, I pull for every single team in the SEC. And secondly, I want Auburn to blow UCF out of the – I want to blow their doors off just to establish the fact that there's a difference between the Power Five and the Group of Five. I hate it when this happens. I hate it when Utah beat Alabama and other teams because they have so much more to play for. Auburn does not want to be in this game. There's no chance Auburn wants to be in that game. I need Auburn to blow UCF's doors off, all right, for the sanctity of the SEC. Number three game that I'm looking forward to, Friday the 29th, Cotton Bowl. USC and Ohio State, man. USC, Ohio State. Do you know that this Sugar Bowl between Alabama and Clemson, the third straight meeting between Alabama and Clemson, is the first time two teams are playing each other in the postseason for three straight years since Ohio State and USC in the Rose Bowl in the 70s. USC and Ohio State, if they don't screw up their uniforms, that's sports eye candy, and it's going to be in the Cotton Bowl. Then we go back to New Year's Day. Number two game, I'm getting agitated just thinking about this. Number two game that I'm looking forward to, Georgia and Oklahoma. I mean, come on. And then number one, of course, the three match between Alabama and Clemson in the Sugar Bowl. So Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Oklahoma, USC, Ohio State, Auburn, UCF, Notre Dame, LSU, Michigan, South Carolina, Wisconsin, Miami, Penn State, Washington, Stanford, TCU, Vatek, Okie State. That's my list. When we come back, T-Mac can tell us if he's got a better list than me. It's the Tom Abraham Show, 730, 1039 AM.
Sports Radio, 730, 1039. The Ump. Get clear.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. Miami 27, New England 20, the 11-point underdogs rise up and smash New England. The Patriots get smacked by a team that they beat by 18 only 2 weeks earlier. Jay Cutler outplays Tom Brady. Miami's corners lock down New England's wideouts, and the Pats had a total of 2 yards of offense in the first quarter. Tom Brady's first regular season game with two picks since 2015. An absolutely crazy night. And yet still, the most predictable thing ever, because nothing in this league is guaranteed this year. It's a year where the Chargers can start 0-4 and win the division, where the Rams can go from a laughingstock to the playoffs, where Case Keenum and Super Bowl are being mentioned in the same sentence. So the only thing this year that is predictable is the unpredictability. That and fools rushing in to say that Tom Brady is wasted and the game is blown right by him. I'm Jim Rome.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here with another important holiday message from KFC. This year, don't waste your holiday vacation cooking dinner. Instead, waste it watching TV or catching up on sleep. And let me prepare a home-style meal for the family with a KFC $20 fill-up. That's 8 pieces of delicious original recipe chicken, 2 large mashed potatoes and gravy, a large coleslaw, and 4 biscuits. Just $20. All right, get along now. That TV isn't going to watch itself. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Available for a limited time only. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough. And sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
At Amazon, we've got millions of toys and games to choose from this holiday. For kids of all ages, from the classics to new ideas to the must-have hits. So, whether you're buying for creative kids, competitive kids, or, well, grown-up kids, visit Amazon for all the toys and games you need and give a little love this holiday. And get free shipping on over 100 million items with eligible orders over $25, only at Amazon.
Give a little bit of my love.
love to you.
Right now, the Home Depot has the Husky 230-piece mechanics tool set for just $99. It's the perfect starter set for any up-and-coming do-it-yourselfer. And right now, it's at the perfect price. And since Husky mechanics tools are guaranteed forever, this starter set will be around to finish projects for years to come. Start something great with the Husky 230-piece mechanics tool set, just $99. Now at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid through February 3rd, 2018. U.S. only. While supplies last.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. I actually don't even think about food. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad, does it attacks belly fat? Well, let me tell you, it did. The second month is where I saw a drastic change in the size of my stomach. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
When you book your holiday travel with Priceline, you can save up to $300 on your flight. With savings like that, you'll have extra money to spend on better gifts for your nieces and nephews.
Look, Mom! Uncle Bill got us a drum set!
That's the sound of being a caring and generous gift giver. And when you've had enough of that gift, you can also save up to 60% on hotels. For the deals you won't find anywhere else, go to Priceline.
Express deals are different. Exact airline or hotel shown only after booking.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
All right, T-Mac, give me a couple of games that you like in there, maybe a mine that you like or others that that I didn't mention that you like.
Yeah, well, there are a couple. Number one, the one that pops out immediately that I probably would have squeezed in my top 10 would have been, other ones are probably just honorable mentions, but the Bahamas Bowl. You've got UAB making just their second bowl game ever. That's going to be a lot of fun, I think. But also, there was one that caught my eye.
It's got a local hook to it. It's got a good local hook to it. Who are they playing? Yeah.
They're playing Ohio. The Bobcats, okay. Or Wild, whatever. I think the Bobcats.
I mean, that's something you check in on. I mean, I can't sit down. I'll sit down and watch these other games. That's not a game I would sit there and watch the whole game.
Well, yeah. Well, that's why these other ones are honorable mentions. You'll just check in on all these. Texas Tech, South Florida, and the Birmingham Bowl. That's has potential of a big shootout. So that'll be fun. That'll be something to keep an eye on. I think some eye candy would be UCLA, Kansas State. I don't know all that blue and gold and in the purple. That'll be a lot of fun. And then another one that'll be a guilty pleasure of mine, one that I might sit down and watch, to be honest with you, will be the Las Vegas Bowl. You've got Boise State and Oregon. That has potential there, too.
Tough with teams. I have a harder time with teams that don't have their coaching staff anymore. Bothers me a little bit sometimes when you see that. But that one, I'll say this, the Holiday Bowl, Michigan State and Washington State,
mm-hmm.
That's got some interest to it. I mean, because that's a Big Ten, Pac-12. I like conference-on-conference type stuff. That's one of the reasons why in my top 10 is South Carolina and Michigan. Michigan destroyed Florida last year. And Michigan, you know, Jim Harbaugh loves tweaking the SEC. So I'd love to see South Carolina, you know, I'd love to have them have, like, Jadeveon Clowney be, like, the honorary captain or something. And I'd love to see South Carolina beat them. You know what I mean?
That's good. That's a good one.
But, you know, this Michigan State-Washington State game, you got Michigan State, you know, that Styles makes a fight. You got Michigan State with great defense, Washington State with great offense. First time Michigan State's been out there at the Holiday Bowl. That was not bad. That Thursday the 28th is a pretty good day for bowl games, to be honest with you. All right. 2 hours in the hopper. When we come back, Damon Amendolar kicks it off for us next, right here in the Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039. Boom.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump.
Roy Moore is getting desperate and has now resorted to calling me names. I'm Doug Jones, and I owe it to you to tell you where I stand. I served as U.S. Attorney, as a prosecutor to put criminals in jail and defend the Constitution. I enjoy hunting and shooting, and if you saw the number of guns I own, you know I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment and for judges that support it. I'm a person of faith, and I try to live my faith every day. I'm for lower taxes on the middle class, against deficits, for a strong military, and for your right to see a doctor whenever you're sick. No one in Washington, not Chuck Schumer or Mitch McConnell, is going to tell me what to do. I answer to Alabama, and I'll work with Senator Shelby to get things done for Alabama. And with your help and your one vote, I'll try my best to be a senator that will make you and Alabama proud. I'm Doug Jones, running for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Doug Jones for Senate.
I've had this law practice well over 30 years now.
Lackey Law Firm founder and my dad, Gary Lackey.
From the beginning, it's always been about helping people in need and giving solid advice to every client. Our first job is to make sure you know your rights.
I'm Justin Lackey. One of those principles Dad always taught us was that every client is as important as another. The initial consultation is free, and if we take on your injury case, you won't pay us anything unless we recover money for you.
Like father, like son, like daughter, I'm Jennifer Lackey. Hurt in a car wreck? You owe it to yourself to visit our website. You'll see an impressive list of success stories. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be provided is greater than the quality of legal services to be performed by other attorneys.
No matter where your case is in North Alabama, we may be able to help. Visit us at thelackeylawfirm.com, L-A-C-K-E-Y.
Or reach us at 1-800-4-RIGHTS, 1-800-4-RIGHTS.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it, we guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-947-1670. 800-947-1670. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-947-1670.
This is Michael David from Seattle. I'm 51 years old, and 6 months ago, I started taking Andro 400 to increase my testosterone. Since then, I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger, and now my wife tells me I have to take Andro 400.
Hi, this is Ron Johnson from Utah. After 10 weeks of taking Andro 400, I lost 13 pounds, and my waist went from 36 to 33. That was 8 years ago. I continue to take Andro 400, and I've maintained my weight at 172, gained muscle and energy. I'm 63 now and feel better than I have in 30 years.
Andro 400, the natural way to increase testosterone, lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel great. Try Andro 400, the safe, effective, affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Thanks.
A new sport is taking off in downtown Huntsville. Are you ready? Rock X City Throwing Club is the largest and only accredited club with the World Axe Throwing League in Alabama.
Come challenge axe experts for axe throwing champions from around the world.
Live in real time. Like Rock X City Throwing Club on Facebook for more information.
Or visit rockxcity.com.
Rock X City Throwing Club. Coming soon to downtown Huntsville.
Hello there, this is Nat King Cole, wishing you all a happy and a Merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping...
Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump.
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Are you ready, Alabama?
All the band is out on the field.
The band.